And good morning. That's our signal to begin. It is 10 after 10 Eastern on Monday, April the 10th. It's time for Coffee with the Coder, Episode 9. We're so happy that you've joined us today. We've got some great questions. Paula Digby is here with some great answers. And we are just wanting to mention to you that if you haven't gotten your question in, be sure to hop over to aq-iq.com and look right on the front page. There's a link to Coffee with the Coder, and that's where you can see the previous episodes. Today's episode will be up in a little while, and also you can post your question there. And what's just been announced in the last minute or two is that when we choose your question to answer on Coffee with the Coder, we're going to send you an exclusive Coffee with the Coder mug. So we're going to call that mugging you by sending you a mug. And so we're delighted to share that fun. You can have your coffee with us on Coffee with the Coder. So good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Pam. And before we start, I just want to take just a quick second to make sure that you all on the line and those of you listening after the live event are aware that we have a whole team working here at AQIQ, working with Coffee with the Coder, as well as the AQIQ website. Pam, who you hear speaking, really does everything here for us. She works with the website. She's customer service. She also, mans these calls for us and does all the introductions as well as on the webinars. And then also we have Christine, who handles some of the marketing. And then two other ladies, Heather Bryans and Rucha Purohit, who are also in the background with myself doing some research on all of the questions that you send in. So just wanted you to make you aware that we do have a whole team here assisting you. There may be some others in the background as well, but these are our main folks. And just wanted to take a quick second before we jumped into the questions just to let you know about those folks. And you'll hear them on the line from time to time as well.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks for introducing the team. How cool. Well, let's jump right into the first question. So Dana is working at a physician office, and she sent this interesting question. We've been receiving denials for CPT 99153, which is the moderate sedation add-on call code, from Medicare First Coast Service Options. I reached out to our FCSO provider advocate to advise, and I pasted the response I received below. Have you heard of this issue from other clients, or maybe you're aware of this issue with CPT? So then she describes the RVUs and each CPT code. I'm not sure how much of this I need to put in to the question.
I think that's effective, Pam. First Coast Service Options is the payer. I know for Florida, and I know Dana, because I did speak with her specifically. She was working in a physician office in Florida. And the 99153 is the additional time of moderate sedation, as you said, the add-on codes. And what they were doing in their practice is submitting the base code and then the add-on code for the additional time, and the additional time code was being rejected. So, yes, apparently there are a lot of questions and comments on this subject. 99153, the add-on code, was published in the Federal Register as a practice expense only and billed only when the service was not performed in a facility. CPT and other CMS guidance appears to indicate otherwise, so even in the Federal Register it does. Some consultants recommend that it be reported anyway for the tracking and denial purposes, and others just recommend it's not reported. There is a lot of discussion about it being an error in the payment tables, but it was listed in the Federal Register and has no work relative value unit. So when I'm looking through the Federal Register, and you can find that in the Federal Register, let me see if I can get you a link. It is on page 80364 of the final rule, and you would go to link https://www.gpo.gov/ F as in Frank, D as in David, S as in Sam, Y as in yellow, S as in Sam, /, P as in Paula, K as in kite, G as in girl, /, capital F as in Frank, K capital R as in ready, hyphen 2016 hyphen 11 hyphen 15 forward slash PDF forward slash 2016 hyphen 26668 dot PDF. So, and we will post this for you as well on our site with the Coffee with the Coder link, so that if you need to see that link written, we'll have it for you. But it does show, in the final rule, it does show the RVUs for 99151, 99152, 99155, 99156, and 99157. And it states, we note that CPT code 99153 is a practice expense only code, and we are finalizing the proposed practice expense inputs for CPT code 99153, as well as finalizing the proposed practice expense inputs for all the other codes in the family without modification. So that's basically stating that from the proposed rule, they're not changing anything into the final rule, and so therefore there were no practice expense RVUs for that code. Now, I know I did, I just want to share with you all on the line, I did talk with Dana specifically about this case, and in her practice, they made an internal decision to go ahead and continue to report those codes for tracking and trending. Because one of the things that it could go into payment policy in the future when CMS, the different Medicare payers, see how many are reported and then determine whether or not they need to make a different payment rule on them. So that's my answer for that one.
All righty, I appreciate that. Well, let's pop over to the setting for hospital outpatient, and we have a question from Vicki. Vicki is asking for your opinion and advice on reporting CPT codes for the application of Velcro splints, cast shoes, finger splints, cam walker boots, knee immobilizers, air splints, and air casts. So over the years, they've reached out to different sources and have gotten different responses as to whether or not these devices should or should not be coded. They even wrote a letter to the Central Office of HCPCS back in 2012, and she's given a copy of their letters. The letter basically says there's no specific HCPCS Level 1 CPT code that would differentiate between immobilizing devices that require little or no technical expertise or splints that are fabricated or off the shelf. So if a splint is applied, then the appropriate code for the splint should be reported. Which code you report is dependent on the setting of the encounter, the treatment provided, and the medical documentation in the health record. She says, we're aware that Coding Clinic for HCPCS has articles in 2010 and 2011 offering their response to the coding of air casts and air splints. However, it appears from the response we received back from the Central Office on HCPCS regarding this issue that these devices should be coded. So your advice would be greatly appreciated.
Ooh, that's a long question. And yes, actually, when we went out to do some research on this question, there really was a lot of confusion about it when you're talking about physician office versus the facility coding. So basically, our research reflects that hospitals report application and supply charges differently than physicians, which, may be where that confusion starts. An article on AHIMA, which was the journal in July of 2009, I think explains it well. For hospitals, April 2009 OPPS update, CMS instructs hospitals to report only the HCPCS supply code if the code description refers to the inclusion of fitting and adjustment. The HCPCS code for the device already includes the services identified in the CPT application code. Coders should keep in mind that all procedures reported in the hospital outpatient setting must be done under physician supervision per the 2009 OPPS final rule, regardless of which staff member applies the device. For example, the following code includes fitting and adjustment, so application would not also be reported, and that code is L2136, which is for knee, ankle, foot orthosis. It says the definition of that code says knee, ankle, foot orthotic, fracture orthotic, femoral fracture, cast orthotic, rigid, prefabricated, and then the keywords that say includes fitting and adjustment. So in that case, you would not report. When they include the fitting or adjustment, you wouldn't include both the application and the splint. I do agree that it's odd that the supply codes are not included in the NCCI edits in this case, but for some reason they're not. So we have to go back to look at the specific definition of the codes themselves.
Which is always a good plan.
Right.
Thank you so much, Paula. Look at our time. It is 20 after 10, so we are going to call that another episode of Coffee with the Coder. I would like to invite everyone to hop over to aq-iq.com, check out the previous episodes of Coffee with the Coder, and leave us your question. We are eager to get those brand new mugs in our hands and start mugging people by giving them mugs for sending us amazing questions. Thank you so much for joining us today. The next episode will be Monday, April the 24th at 10:10.